Established while Chelsea was still known as the haunt of great intellectuals and artists, the Hen and Bishop was designed for quiet drinks and friendly, intelligent conversation. I couldn't speak to the quality of conversations within its walls these days, but it was always what I hoped for as I strolled down Illiston Street. Every month, the Hen ran a special on a different kind of liquor to bring the partiers in. That was the only way that Jackie, who loved clubs, dancing and all things bedazzled and glamorous, had discovered this spot. Since that one drunken night, she'd decided she liked it, so she commenced a weekly ritual. The street side tables were empty, except for a couple talking loudly to each other over a beer. They looked to be having a good time, but I was glad they were outside. Obnoxious voices would have grated on my frazzled nerves. The doorman, a craggy-faced fellow named Harris, knew me. With a courteous nod, he hooked a thumb over his shoulder. Harris's voice was like wood smoke and old scotch, rough but not unkind. "Jackie's in the back. Brace yourself. She's pretty excited about the flavour of the week." "Thanks, Harry." I gave him a peck on the cheek that made his grey moustache twitch. Ducking inside, I was greeted by a warm interior with exposed beams, soft amber lighting, and the strains of a Leonard Cohen song. A set of roped-off stairs led to a second level. To the left was the common room from where the piano playing came, as well as the low-level hum of conversation. Woolshot, the publican, who everyone called Woolsey, spotted me from the bar as I came in. He gave a cheery wave and pointed to my right. I nodded and mouthed my thanks. The back room was smaller, with only a single row of wooden booths along the wall. Two sets of antique double doors stood propped open to a small cobbled yard that had a few tables and chairs. Jackie had chosen a booth in the back corner. Her face was highlighted by the stark glare of her phone. She looked wan and tired, but when she heard my footsteps, she looked up with the brilliant smile I loved. Jackie was gorgeous, and being her friend, her responsible friend, wasn't easy sometimes.
"I thought you'd never get here."
She leapt from her seat and threw her arms around me. She was on the tall side with a knockout figure that stood in adamant defiance of her eating habits and occasional binge drinking. Pouty lips, chocolatey brown eyes and immaculate waves of dark hair. Jackie turned heads wherever she went and with whatever she wore. She laughed easily and warmly, could make anyone feel special, and had a charming, mischievous streak.
"You say things must be shared. I come running."
I released her and slid into the booth.
"That's how this works, don't you know?"
I pointed to her, then myself, and back again in rapid succession with both hands. Jackie laughed. Catching the attention of a passing waiter, she asked for two glasses and a bottle of wine before scooping her phone back up.
"Oh, and don't I just have things to share?" she giggled.
I braced myself. We'd gone through this often enough, as the code implied, and each time I dreaded this part the most. She would show me her new love interest, or as she called them, mon chou, which was a French pastry or a candy or something. They were invariably good-looking, invariably rich, or at least Liv liked it, and invariably ended up being cads of one sort or another. Jackie looked up from her phone, eyes twinkling, and she pressed the screen against her chest.
"Ready?"
She caught that pouty lower lip between her teeth in anticipation. It was like a child asking you to watch them do something you knew was going to end badly. Nothing you could say was going to stop them, and you didn't want to crush their spirit, but you also didn't want to deal with the wreckage afterwards. I nodded, wishing the wine was here already.
"Isn't he just delicious?"
I closed one eye and made a show of peeking as she turned the screen to face me. Catching a glimpse, both eyes popped open and I stared openly.
"Good heavens!" "Right?"
The young man on the screen was a wild motorcycle ride along a rugged coast. He was a warm bear hug in front of a crackling fire and big happy shrieks on the wildest ride at the fair. Handsome didn't cover it. Dark, but not unruly brows, skin that was no stranger to the sun, and a way of holding his head on sculpted shoulders that seemed a perpetual careless shrug. It looked as though he was trying too hard, posing too much, in what he thought was an edgy half-grin, but it could have just been the picture.